Hello and welcome to the Mandalorian review, day of the last episode of season two. And you know what? I'm going into this with mixed emotions. I'm not going to lie. I know that Evan, you seem pretty excited.
I am pumped. It was so good.
I feel like my issues with it don't pertain to the story. They pertain to the way it was shown.
I understand. We'll get to that when we get there. I'm fairly confident I know what you're talking about.
I had a sweat going watching the episode, so I can't lie. So we've been at this for, well, I guess this is our eighth episode, but really
2 months.
Yeah, we've been you know, doing this, and I think this was the conclusion we wanted. We go into the episode, and they're all of a sudden you're pursuing the Dr. Pershing. Yeah, Pershing. our little clone doctor, who's not a cameoan. He's not one of the long necks. He's a little human. We've met him before. He was in the first season. He's in the second season. We know him. But it's finally confirmed that he's a clone doctor. You never actually once hear them say he is a clone doctor. So this was kind of like the, oh wow, he really is. And again, the cameoans. Yeah, they hold their secrets very close to their chest. So the idea that if he happens to be a human clone doctor who has that experience is really cool. That opens up a whole another line of thought. Mm-hmm. But they're being pursued in an Imperial transport by the slave. And this is what I love. You see, like, Boba Fett is such an amazing shot. Like, everyone seems to forget that. Like, you see him most of the episodes. Like, you've seen him so far. He's been, like, crazy with a beat stick from the Tuskens. You see him shoot two Imperial transports down with his rocket launcher. Like, you've seen some really cool shots, but you haven't seen him pilot. Like, really pilot. You see him, he blew up some TIE fighters, cool. But now he's chasing this thing, and you know, he's missing his shots. You're like, oh man, like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden he just, like, you know, lines up and then hits him with a plasma blast, and it knocks their shields down, knocks everything down. And you know, the entire conversation inside the Imperial transport is, you know, who are they? Are they pirates? Like, blah, blah, blah. I highly doubt that the Empire doesn't know what the slave is. I think they should have records of what the slave is.
I would agree with that. That would make sense. Maybe these guys are just very ignorant.
They seemed very ignorant. So you have this kind of weird, like, two pilots with their little pilot hats on. And
they're little pilot hats.
Yeah, they get blasted, and then they're low power. Boba's gravelly voice over the comms, like, drop your shields, we're gonna be boarded. And you see this awesome, like, view as the slave flies, like, really close over the cockpit, and you can see Boba, like, looking at them. Like, I would not want to have to see that.
Menacingly. And,
they board, doors open, Mando walks in with the spear on his back, which is the first time we've really seen him with the spear on his back recently. Mm-hmm. Spear on his back, really cool. And we have our Imperial officers kind of panic. The one officer starts explaining who the doctor is, even though Mando's like, yeah, I've met him. And then we have this really interesting conversation between Cara Dune and this Imperial officer. And it goes to show how indoctrined the Empire had their people. So you have this conversation between these two, Cara Dune and this unnamed Imperial officer. And he's like, oh, you know, how was Alderaan? He's like, I noticed a tear, because she has a tear on her eye to show she was on Alderaan. And you have this, like, interaction where he's like, we blew it up. How'd you feel? Like, you know, I was in the Death Star, what happened? And she was like, which
really
one?
Trying to dig into her, really antagonizing her.
Well, then she hits him back with which one, and you see him, like, he's like, you think you're funny? And it's like, I think she did more damage to him with saying which one than he did by saying her whole plan.
I think so too. Yeah. It seems like Cara Dune has really come to terms with the fact that, you know, Alderaan's gone and it's not coming back, but this guy seems super jaded that both Death Stars were blown up.
Exactly. And he survived the first Death Star. He got off of it before it blew up, supposedly. Mm-hmm. So maybe he was on it for a short period of time and left. We don't know. But then you see him, like, really start to dig in and about how, like, you know, if he would do it again because it stops terrorism. But if you look back, Alderaan was never, like, the princess of Alderaan, Princess Leia, was a rebel, like, leader. But, you know, Alderaan itself was a hub for for like learning and for they were part of the Senate. Like they were never a bad planet. The only reason it got blown up was because of Leia. If Leia wasn't like from Alderaan, it would have been fine.
For sure.
So his like whole thing about blowing up terrorism, I was like, okay, sure, buddy, you're the terrorist here. And then Cara Dune shoots him in the face and like almost fries the doctor's ear. It was really good. Meanwhile, he's also this crazy zealot has shot the other pilot because he's like, I'm not with him, and he just shoots him in the back, and the guy's like, oh, and he dies. I like
Yeah.
that. Yeah, I mean, that. What would your reaction be being shot with a laser rifle in the back?
Well,
Like,
I'm pretty
oh,
sure I'd be, dead. So I
yeah.
think my reaction wouldn't matter. But
Oh, I thought it was hilarious
I
though.
honestly, I thought it was great just because it's like, it's okay, we can work this out. And he's like, shut up, we just get
Yeah,
some out of here. It's
bam,
great.
shoots him. Yeah,
It's great.
and so now that he's dead, they have the doctor in custody. And then we see the shot where they're flying to another planet. We don't know which planet it is. They don't really tell us any of the planets they've been to. So they go to this planet, and as you see the slave pulling up, you can see these very distinct little tines sticking up. These little tiny, it looks like two little like small pyramids. And I'm like, okay, sweet. It's a Mandalorian ship. I know the Mandalorian ships. I know what's going on. So the Mandalorian ship pulls up, or I guess the slave pulls up, it lands. You see a Mandalorian ship that was piloted by Bo-Katan. And we get into what do you want to call it? The cantina, if that's a thing.
I go sure, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, and you have this awesome scene where it's Boba and Mando, and I guess Din, and they're all the people turn and slowly look at them, and they're like, "Oh God, there's more."
And they
And
do
then you,
this like synchronized scan of the room, and I'm just like,
it was so
yo.
good. It was honestly so good. And then you see Bo-Katan, and I don't know what her other, I don't know, I can't remember what the actress'
I
name is.
also am not too sure. Koska Reeves.
Koska Reeve. So you have these two, and for some reason the male Mandalorian's not there anymore. He could be on another mission, could be somewhere else, doesn't really matter. But it's the two of them, and you have this really, in my opinion, racial
Very racially
issue.
charged conversation.
Yeah, between it's almost so it's like when the Mando was yelling at Bo-Katan, because realistically, the Mando was not a Mandalorian. He's not a Mandalorian, he's a foundling, he was raised as a foundling. Bo-Katan doesn't seem to care about that. She's a full-blood Mandalorian. As is her sidekick. So you have this thing where Bo-Katan knows who Boba is, and she has this really cool thing where she said, "I've heard your voice 1,000 times,"
I love
which
that.
is awesome because that he's a clone. Like he is, his father was the donor for every single clone trooper. So she's heard his voice thousand. And then he has this. He's like, "It could be the last one you ever heard." And I was like, "Oh, get him,
Oh
Boba,
man, it was such a great
get him!"
conversation. I loved the confrontation between Bo-Katan and Boba Fett.
Yeah,
So
and it was.
good.
In my opinion, it was like it makes me think of Bo-Katan because again, she used to be a terrorist. She used to be a terrorist, and it makes me look back and be like, "Oh right, she's not a good person."
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Because her whole thing is like, "You're not a Mandalorian. You shouldn't be wearing the armor. You're just a donor. You're a clone." And Boba gets really mad at this and throws a sidekick through the table, and they have this cool fight scene where they end up both like flamethrowing each other. Because again, he's been trained by his father. He knows what he's doing. I guess he actually he's been trained by his father a bit. He went to the Imperial, I guess at the time, the Republic training ground. So he's been trained by the clone troopers because he looked like a clone trooper foundling. So he went there and pretended to be a clone trooper for a bit. Like he's been trained by all kinds of people. So he's really skillful. So they have this thing, but again, he's older. He's older now. So he kind of gets his butt kicked a little bit, but he gave what he got. He gave what he got, and I really liked it. And Temuera Morrison was just the gravel in his voice. Oh, he sounds like a grizzled veteran, and he really is, and it's fantastic. So they have this issue, they have this thing where they're, blah blah, they're doing this thing. Bo-Katan's kind of like, "Can you please stop?" But then she eggs him on again and then tells him to stop again. So I didn't like the interaction again. Bo-Katan's not a good person. She's not. She's a
No.
terrorist. She wants Mandalore back in her grasp. And then she's like, "I'm not helping you. You don't know where Moff Gideon is." And then Mando was like, "Well, I do." And she was, "Okay, I'll help you then. I want the Darksaber back from Moff Gideon." And I knew why she wanted it back, and hopefully a lot of people knew why. But I knew what was going to happen. I knew the little trick that was coming because if you watch Clone Wars, you know. So we get through that. They get on the Imperial shuttle. My thing is, why did they leave? Like, I understand why they. So they get on the Imperial shuttle and the slave, and they leave. The Mandalorian transport on the planet they were. So how are they going to get that back? They have to go. They have to get like a taxi back to that planet now. They have no ship. They have nothing. They have no ship at all. They didn't take it with them. It was just a slave and the Imperial transport. So where is the Mandalorian ship now? That's one thing I was like, okay, that's, your ship's just gone. You're not getting that back. And you have this thing where like Boba starts calling Bo-Katan princess, like really like,
condescendingly. It's
she
pretty
is
great.
A princess though. She is her sister Sabine and her were princesses of Mandalore. So it's really cool in that respect because he knows his history. Boba knows what he's talking about. His dad in the comics was a full blood Mandalorian.
Yep.
Now they kind of retcon that and said he's a foundling, but if you still go with the story, he still fought in the Mandalorian Civil Wars and he still helped the Mandalorians before he became a bounty hunter. So all that in itself is pretty cool. Then you have, Bo-Katan being like, yeah, I think your shot's convincing. And he's like, okay, I will. Like, okay, dear princess, don't worry. So they get to Moff Gideon's cruiser and they send a distress signal like, me attacked, help us, please. And Moff Gideon being the genius he is, he's like, okay, you know what? Scramble the TIE fighters. Don't wait. Scramble the TIE fighters. Send them out. So you see these three TIE fighters that successfully escape the hangar. And then you have this, scene where the slave is like shooting at them and trying to hit them, but it's missing, of course, because he doesn't want to hit them. And meanwhile, the pilots and the TIEs are panicking because like this Imperial transport is coming right towards their little like landing pad thingy. So they're kind of freaking out. And you have this really cool scene where the guy's like, whoa, stop. And then like a TIE fighter pilot like jars in his seat because again, like they're being moved at like high velocity to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
You have our transport land. And all the time, so we've seen Boba missing all the shots of the Imperial transport. We've seen him missing the shots, and then once they land successfully, he flies over the light cruiser. The deck guns are shooting at him, missing, and then he just swivels the guns backwards and shoots both TIE fighters out of the air. He's like, bang bang, both TIE fighters gone. And then just jumps to hyper. Oh, it's so cool because like again, he knows what he's doing. He's a crazy bounty hunter who's been around for a long time. So he just turns the guns around, blast blast, both the TIE fighters gone, and then gets out of there. Like it was like. This guy has outclassed every pilot I've seen so far in the show.
Yep.
They get on the cruiser and they have this I didn't like the. This is my first problem with the episode.
Okay.
They land, and you have a rebel trooper, not anymore, I guess.
She's a drop sheriff.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a drop trooper.
Like, yeah, but now she's a sheriff. Like she has the badge, right? So, yep. With two Mandalorians and Fennec, who's a wanted bounty hunter. So they get on, they land on the ship. By the way, I have no idea where the doctor is at this time. I have no idea. I thought he was on the ship, but now he's not. So I don't know where he is at this time.
I guess he's just sitting on the ship. He kind of like
hanging out. He's like, okay.
He kind of like outlived his usefulness.
Yeah, but like I wouldn't shoot him. I wouldn't like just put him over. Like he's nothing wrong. But he's an Imperial officer. Like that's what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Gideon would shoot him a heartbeat if he could.
I don't know. I kind of forgot about him and I was like, oh, right. He's a thing. Gotcha.
Yeah, near the end of the episode, I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's four plus the one, but there was six.
No, you just did a little head count of everyone.
I was like, wait a minute. But so that when they come out of the ship shooting, they shoot some stormtroopers down, and then you see a gunner trooper with his hands up, and they just shoot him. Like, Bo-Katan shoots him dead. And I understand, like, yes, they can't take prisoners. But again, he was hands up. He's like, I have no weapons. Don't shoot me. And she just blasts him. And I'm like, okay.
Bo-Katan's not a good character. Like, right. It's in her character to shoot him.
I was like, okay, right, terrorist. But you feel like she isn't at the time because of how she interacts with Mando. So they just wipe the deck apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start going. And this whole time it's a race against time because the Dark Troopers, which we figured out are actually droids, which is really cool because I thought they were Dark Troopers originally. But then I saw that they were droids and I was like, no, they're not Dark Troopers. But now they are Dark Troopers. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
And side note, Dark Troopers are like some of the best units in the galaxy. They're hyper trained. They were like the personal guard of Darth Vader.
Yep.
But these, of course, aren't the personal guard of Darth Vader because he's dead and all of them are dead and now they're droids. But I think they have to be made of like Baskar. I think they have to be either made of Baskar or something like that.
Well, that would make sense considering Mando got a lot of his Beskar from the Empire.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If the Empire is mining and refining this stuff, well, it's not an unfair assumption to assume that they would have enough to make these droids.
I would think so. So you get to see this race against time. Really cool. It's like girl power. You're Fennec. And I really like this again because like, the Mandalorians are led by a female now. Like the Mandalorian, I guess the true believers, the true Mandalorians are led by a Bo-Katan. So it's really cool to see like this. You have Fennec, who's a really cool, on her own bounty hunter. You have Cara Dune, who's a dropship trooper, who's a beast of a woman. Like, I would not want to be a stormtrooper where she bodies a stormtrooper with a gun because it jams. And you see like this really cool like fight scene where they're just clearing the halls. They're clearing the halls, getting to the hangar or getting to the deck. So meanwhile, Mando's trying to find Baby Yoda, I guess Grogu, who is just referred to as the kid the entire episode. He's never once called by his name. He is just the kid.
The child kid.
Yeah. So he gets to the doors where the dark troopers are being stationed, and one makes it through before he can close the doors completely. And it's a fight scene. Like, these dark troopers are nothing to be spit at. Like, they really just mess him up.
My favorite part about this fight scene is he's literally punching Mando in the head with the helmet. The helmet does not budge at all. He just gets more and more caved into the wall.
I love that because it's like a piston. He's like holding the Mando by the chest and he's just like hammering him in the head, and his helmet's just moving slowly into the deck.
Which
and,
like, it just goes to show that it's like, oh yeah, by the way, his helmet is also Beskar. Yeah. So that's not breaking anytime soon.
It was amazing. And meanwhile, the other dark troopers are punching holes in the door trying to get out. Mm-hmm. So it's very like against the odds, and he sets it on fire, and then he has to use his wrist rockets, and then finally he takes a spear and just decapitates it. And the fight scene with the spear was kind of my other issue, because the spear goes missing when he gets thrown. The spear's there, and then he changes positions and the spear's not there, but I guess he could have had it in his hand. You don't see his other hand, so he could have had it. But I was so enthralled. I was watching everything, and I was like, okay, here we go.
Man, there's so much that happens.
Exactly. Like, I was just watching everything, and I was like, okay, here. I had to catalog everything, because I was making a tea while I was watching it, so I had to pause, and I'd recap when I'd seen, and then I made my tea, and unpaused. So, fight scene, he's get this. We get to the brig, and here's Baby Yoda, who looks like he's had a rough time. He looks sad. Gideon, standing over him with the darksaber, he's like, leave me alone, buddy, I'll cut the kid up. And you have this interaction where Gideon's kind of like, I have everything I want from this kid, so you can have him if you really want, but you have to let me go. And you see like this, I liked how like quick the Mando was like, okay, cool, I don't want the darksaber, it's yours.
He said right at the beginning of the episode, like, my only priority is
the child,
is the child, is the kid, and that's it. I don't care about anything else.
And I love that, because like it shows how his conviction is for the child. Like, this is his ward. He was put in charge of this, and he's gonna fix things before before anything happens. So then I knew, like, you know, Gideon's not to be trusted. So he's going to reach the kid, and Gideon turns the darksaber back on and slashes him. But again, he's wearing everything is Beskar. The jetpack's Beskar. Everything's Beskar. So nothing really happens. You see him hold his arm at one point, because I think Gideon nicked him with the darksaber, and you see this fight. But again, Gideon has no training with a lightsaber. Like, he's just swinging and hacking. It's a very like crude weapon. It's kind of like when you watch Rey fight in like episode 8. She has no training. She's just swinging like a bat. She's just going crazy. So good interaction between the Mando and Gideon. Gideon's like, by the way, I know everything. Like, you're out of wrist rockets. Like, I'm not afraid of you. I can take you. But Mando has a spear, which I don't think Gideon knew about the spear. So they have like this good interaction. Because I guess Gideon had no way of knowing either, because Thrawn at this time and Gideon have no connection to each other.
Oh, like, yeah, I forgot about Thrawn. Yeah, I so completely forgot about Thrawn.
Thrawn's over here with his like administer with the Beskar spear, and then Gideon's over here in the inner worlds doing his own thing. So they have no connection. So I guess he had no way of knowing with the spear, but they fight with the spear, and Mando wins, of course, because again, Gideon's an officer with like very little training with the darksaber, because who's going to train him? Darth Vader's dead. Emperor's dead. There's no one really to train him anymore. I don't think any of the Jedi are going to train him. And he spares him. And at this point, I was like, okay, Mando now owns Mandalore. Because in the cartoon, when Darth Maul beats up Bo-Katan's leader, who the Death Watch, who was the terrorist group, he wins the fight and takes the darksaber, because he wins the fight, so the darksaber's hit. So I'm like, okay, crap, like, this is not good, we are in a bad position right now, guys, like, this is really bad. Because then you get Bo-Katan on the bridge, he pulls in Gideon, and she's like, what happened? And Gideon's like, why don't you kill him now, take it, it's yours. And you kind of see Fennec and Cara Dune look at Bo-Katan like, good luck, try it.
Kind of like a, you know, okay, you can do what you want, but, you know, beep. Yeah, you know,
Exactly.
I got guns trained on you.
Exactly. It was so good. It shows again like the following that Mando has and how like convict like again, these people will not they won't let him die. They know what he's going, like they want to help. And I also liked how when the Mando mentioned way back in the cantina they have the kid, Bo-Katan didn't care. She's like, okay. Like she's very self-centered.
I'm very happy about that because so far everyone has helped him simply because he said they have the kid.
Exactly. And I don't like that because again, they shouldn't matter. I guess the people who know him and the kid have been helpful, but people who don't know shouldn't care at all. Like Bo-Katan
Exactly.
should have no worries. So we have this interaction where Gideon's like, by the way, you own Mandalore now because you have the Darksaber, and he's trying to give it to Bo-Katan, and she's like, no, I can't take it from you. He's like, okay, I yield, it's yours, take it. And she's like, nope. And you can see her really thinking, like, could I take him in a fight? Could I win? And I, at this point, don't think Bo-Katan could. I
If
don't
I
think.
think if Mando used the Darksaber on Bo-Katan, I'm pretty sure Mando would win.
Yeah, and because her Beskar is pretty beat up too. Like she's not wearing full Beskar like he is.
No.
Yeah, so they have this interaction, and then all of a sudden they get warnings all over the ship, and I knew it was the Dark Troopers coming back because the Mando jettisoned the Dark Troopers out into space, but they're droids. They don't breathe. They're fine. So all the Dark Troopers ramp back into the ship. And it's very scary because they just seal the blast doors and they're like, okay, what are we gonna do? And the soundtrack for the Dark Troopers was amazing. It was like techno-y and Star Wars-y, and it hyped you up. You're like, they're gonna die. So Gideon's antagonizing the whole time. He's like, by the way, everyone's gonna die in this room but me and the kid. And good job though. You stood valiantly. Good luck. And you have this very like everyone's kind of scared. And like they're punching the wall, they're punching the door open, and like you know what's gonna happen. At this point, I'm thinking, okay, Mando, you have to use the Darksaber. I was thinking, like, Din is going to go in there and just swing with a Darksaber and hack things up because he could. Like, the Darksaber could work. And then you have this other warning, and you see this one lone X-Wing. And I was like,
Oh no,
no.
here we go. And I love
No.
Cara Dune's line of what's oh boy, one X-Wing.
Yeah, she's like, oh, great. There we go. It's a
Meanwhile,
original
I'm just
X-Wing.
like, no,
Yeah, I was
it
like, because.
can't be.
I had seen a lot of posts online about, so we're hinting at Luke. If anyone has no idea, we're hinting at Luke Skywalker. Hey, Luke has an X-Wing. It's his personal blue X-Wing. The X-Wing is blue. You see that. I was like, okay, it's Luke Skywalker. Online, there have been tons of like issues where they're like, okay, could it be Luke? Maybe. Could it be any of these other Jedis? Because it would make sense because they're still alive. But then Luke is the only one who has a training center. Like, he's the only teacher currently. And he's also one of the only Jedi Knights actually like to become a Jedi Knight. Because he was trained by Yoda, a Jedi Master. So technically, Luke is the only Jedi Master in the world currently that we know of. So we see this awesome interaction where you see the green lightsaber. And at first, I was like, no, it can't be Luke. I'm like, there's no way it's Luke. Like, that'd be like, okay. And then you see his one black glove because he has an android hand.
That's
And then you
right.
see his one ungloved hand. And I was like, okay, it's Luke. It's Luke Skywalker. He's also wearing all black. I'm like, it's Luke Skywalker. It's Luke Skywalker, guys. And he cuts them to ribbons. Like you get to see Luke. Because again, Luke is amazing. Like Luke force chokes Jabba the Hutt. Like Luke has like he's done a lot. He kills the Rancor. Luke has done so much. So he like just shreds these troopers. He shreds these droids to bits. He's like throwing them at walls, he's crushing them in boxes, he's cutting them in half. You see one scene where he just like cuts one clean in half and then it falls apart off the bridge. So cool. And then you like it was just so good. It was so it, the entire time everyone on the bridge is freaking out. They're like, what do we do? But this is what bothers me. So Cara Dune's a dropship trooper, but she's part of the New Republic. So a Jedi should be a good thing for her. She should be like, all right, sweet guys, open the doors, see what the Jedi am. Fennec being kind of like, no, we can't. And Bo-Katan and her sidekick, who again, I don't care about her name, honestly, I'm sorry. They were like, no, don't open the
Of
doors.
course they were, 'cause they fought
Yeah.
against the Jedi, and they're just like, we're gonna die.
But then, like, what I liked the most is so Gideon at this time is hidden a blaster in his cloak. This is why capes work. This is why everyone says no capes on superheroes, but capes on villains always work because you can hide things in your cape. So hides his blaster, shoots Bo-Katan on the knee a bunch of times. That's the only place she doesn't have anything. And then she falls over, and the child, I guess Grogu's like, oh, uh-oh, and he's just standing there like, oops. And the Mando does this awesome like dad dive and blocks the shots with his chest because he's wearing Beskar. And then Gideon goes to kill himself, and Cara Dune just hits her with his gun. Like she's not having this. You're going to jail, buddy. Which, okay, this part didn't, like, I didn't like this part. I was thinking Gideon was going to kill himself anytime because that crazy, like, the bite where he zaps himself in the face, like his other officer.
Right,
I was expecting that. But apparently Gideon had no, he didn't expect to be captured.
I guess he
So.
kind of had that's kind of shows the hubris of
Oh, yeah.
Moff Gideon.
Oh, yeah. So we have this all going on. And meanwhile, Luke's cutting his way through the droids. And then, Mando's like, open the door. And we see this. This is my issue with the episode. We see this. It almost didn't look heavily CGI, but when you look at it, it doesn't look right. This very CGI'd Luke head. And what I had seen was, so Mark Hamill had said that the guy who plays Bucky Barnes, who I can't remember what his name is,
We'll get back to that in a
yeah,
moment.
but he looks very much like a young Luke Skywalker. So I was thinking they were gonna have him, they were gonna cast him. But it was a weird, it was a very weird like CGI. It was like the CGI Leia on Rogue One, where it looked like a person enough. You're like, if you were looking, you'd be okay, but it looked enough like a not a person to be like, ooh, that kind of looks different. And his voice was two-toned. If you listened long enough, like what does he talk? His voice was like, it was his voice and it was Luke's voice overlaid. And I didn't like that aspect of it. That was fine with me though. We see the child, you see like Grogu and he's and Mando's like, he doesn't want to go with you. Sorry, buddy, you came all this way for nothing. And he's like, no, he wants your permission to go. And you see this very like heartwarming moment where Grogu touches his helmet and he takes his helmet off to show like he doesn't care anymore. Mando does not care. He is gonna take his helmet off. His admission
Whatever
to the
belief
Order.
he had as a foundling is gone.
Yeah,
Like,
he is now. He's grown as a person, which is huge. His zealotism is gone. He doesn't care. And Grogu touches his face. And at this point, I would find it so hard if Pedro Pascal not to smile. Can you imagine a puppet, like a little, like a person standing behind you with like this little arm touching your face? I would have it so hard not to laugh.
I know,
Like
right?
this little tiny baby arm touching you. But anyways, he looked sad. He looked sad and kind of happy at the same time. He was like a proud dad moment. Like my kid's going to camp. I'll see him again later. And you have this beautiful moment where R2 pulls up. And R2 looks down and really kind of like looks at Grogu and then freaks out. R2's like rocking back and forth. Because again, last time R2 saw like people was Yoda beating him with a stick. So like R2's like, oh my God, there's another one. And then Luke picks up Grogu and they go on their separate way. And it's very heartwarming, kind of sad. And you have no idea what's going on after this. The shuttles close and it goes to credits. So now we have the credits. And at this time, we have four questions. Four main questions, okay? What are the Mandalorians going to do now? What is the Mando going to do now? What does Cara Dune do with Gideon? And what does Fennec do? And I guess one other question: what does Luke do with Baby Yoda? We kind of understand what's happening with the Grogu. Like he's going to get
He's
trained.
gonna go be trained,
Yeah.
so it's like questionable as to whether, Grogu eventually dies to what's his
The
name, Adam Driver. The
Kylo Ren's insurrection with the
so
Knights
it's
of
hard to
Ren.
say as to whether Grogu dies to that because we don't
Yeah.
see him at any point in time later.
We don't, and I really want to hope because, again, at this time period, Luke could be young enough to not have opened the school yet. He could be at the age where the school
True.
isn't open yet, and maybe Grogu is what starts it for him.
Maybe.
And that'd be really cool because, again, he takes special interest because this looks like Yoda. He's a little Yoda. Who trained me?
It's
Yoda.
true. There's a
I will
very
train
unique
little Yoda.
connection.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then, so you have, okay, what are the Mandalorians going to do? Which sparks a whole other thing. Does the man, like, is there even going to be a season three for Mando now? Do we need a season three?
I don't even know. I would like there
Yeah.
to be a season three for Mando. I just don't know what they would do.
Well, from what
Like,
I've seen and like the way they're doing it, like the Ahsoka spinoff is going to have the Mando on the Ahsoka spinoff. So I'm thinking what they're going to do is they're going to have like six different spinoffs and then all the characters are going to be shared along the spinoff so we can piece the stories together as we watch. Which I would like a season three, but now, like, the people who watch it just for Baby Yoda, they don't want to watch it now. They don't care. They're like, whatever. I don't. Baby Yoda's not in the episode. I don't care. Why should I care? But people who like, who I want to know what happens. I want to know what's going to happen. Does Din Djarin take over the entire? Does he own the glass planet of Mandalore? Like, what now?
Yeah, I know, right?
And I expected actually, before the Dark Troopers reboarded, I thought it was going to be Mandalorians because when Gideon's talking about how Gideon like is in charge of the Mandalorians now, I expected the Mandalorians to show up and attack because like. When Darth Maul had the Mandalorians in his pocket, he had three separate groups of Mandalorians that were under his control, and they were his Mandalorians. So I kind of expected that, and have like this really cool fight scene between Mandalorians versus Mandalorians. But no, and then Evan told me in the before I watched the episode, stay for the credits, and I was like, okay, post credit scene, and I was it was so hard for me not to like go and check what it was. Like,
I know, right? So I sat there and I waited, and like true cinema movie fashion, I waited till all the credits were done before the scene started.
Yeah, I actually fast forwarded to the very end. I looked for where the first scene was, and then you get to see this beautiful landscape of guess where we are, Tatooine. We got two sons, baby, two sons, and you see this palace. And when I first saw it, I thought, okay, we're on Tatooine. Luke, is he training Grogu here? Immediately, I thought, okay, we're on Tatooine, Luke's home planet, Anakin's home planet. Is this where the school is going to be started? And then I remember that in the comics, no, it's not. It's on like a winter planet, so no. Then I see this place, and I go, okay, this has got to be
Jabba the Hutt's palace.
Yeah, and it is Jabba the Hutt's palace. But where's Jabba the Hutt?
Immediately I saw it, I was like, it has to be Jabba the Hutt's.
Which is so cool. Jabba the Hutt's been dead for a while. Leia choked him out in her bikini photo shoot. She chokes him out with a chain. Mm. And now we have Bib Fortuna.
Yeah, right? I was like, oh, Bib Fortuna, what are you doing here?
I guess he never dies, and he's grown quite large.
Yep.
Yeah,
he is the new Jabba.
Yeah, which is weird because like he's not Huttese. Like no one like the Hutts control it because they're Huttese. Like that's their whole thing. They're just gangsters. And now you have this albino Twi'lek who no one really likes because he's albino. That's the whole thing. He's been shunned by his people because he's albino. And now you have this like, and he's got these gross fingernails. He just looks disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Fennec come in and start Fennec's shooting people. Fennec's going crazy. Fennec's killed all these. Like so you're like, okay, Fennec's here. Who else is gonna be here? And you see Bobo walk in. And you see that this very nervous, very, very nervous Bib Fortuna who's like, hey, how's it going? What's up? Like, I thought you were dead, but like, hey, it's so good you're so alive. And he shoots him, throws him out of the chair. And Boba sits down in the chair and Fennec gets a drink and sits beside him. And then you have the Book of Boba coming December 2021. And I was like, oh my God, this is what we wanted. Because now this is Boba's story after, or it's going to be Boba's story up to. I'm not entirely sure.
It's hard to say.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so that's the episode. That's the end of the episode. Stay for the credits if you want to watch it. I tell it okay, but watch it to understand. And it was amazing. Like we now know the Boba Fett controls Tatooine, at least for the gangster side of it, because he is now like the number one bounty hunter in that area.
Mm-hmm.
He has Fennec, who's still his sidekick. I like Fennec. I really do. Again, like they're both outlaws, but I like how you kind of forget they're outlaws. You kind of forget that everyone there is a bad person. Like they're all bounty hunters. You forget that. Everyone but Cara Dune Cara Dune is the only person who's actually aligned isn't in the good area.
Right.
Like they're all wanted by the Republic and by the Empire. So you kind of forget that. But now you have Boba in charge of the Jabba the Hutt's palace. You have Fennec there with him. So now you think, okay, is he going to get all these bounty hunters? Like we still have Bossk. He's not dead yet. The big lizard guy. Dengar is not dead yet. The guy with like the headscarf and the backpack, and he always wears brown. You have IG-88, who's the original IG unit. You have Four Lom, who's like another. He looks very much. He's a C-3PO body, but like with weird bug eyes. Okay. And you have another one. So you have these five main ones who hunted down Han Solo and Luke. And where are they now? So then, are they gonna be with Boba now? Is it gonna be Boba and his little buddies? Like, oh, I have no idea, but it's gonna be so good.
There's so much that happens, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
I love the episode from like start to finish. I was just taking it all in. Jon Favreau did Luke good.
I think so. The way Luke fought and the way he even stood there, like Luke was not presumptuous. Luke was just like he was like kind of teacher. He was fatherly. He was like he wants you. If he wants your permission. He wasn't like, give me the kid, I'll go. No, he was very like, I know what's happening. He wants your permission. I'm in no rush. And at no point did Luke say, come on, hurry up. At no point, Luke was like, he'll be leaving with me, but take your time.
Mm-hmm.
It was very
so
nice.
Good. Ryan Johnson, take notes. This is how you should have done Luke Skywalker.
Honestly, yeah. And just a tidbit, the actor who played the original Boba Fett passed away yesterday. So I think
I know.
They didn't know this was going to happen, but having Boba Fett now in charge of Tatooine is awesome, I think. It's really cool. So I don't mention to him, unfortunately, but really cool that everything kind of aligned this way. And with that, that's the episode. So, again, it was really good. I think they finished the season fantastically. Now we have all these spinoffs, and I can't wait.
I know. There's so much that's going to happen. And, you know, the Mando can just fit in any one of these, and it's great.
Yeah, honestly. It's
I would
amazing.
love to see, like, at any point you could see Din Djarin just kind of show up and be like, yo, sup.
Literally, now that he's like doing his own thing, he could show up with, he could be part of the New Republic, because technically he's not really wanted by the New Republic anymore. He was kind of spared that. You could see him show up as like pretty much anything. He could show up in the Ahsoka TV series. He could show up in the Boba Fett TV series. Like, there's nothing that he can't show up in, because everyone so far he's not crossed any lines. Ahsoka likes him. Boba likes him. He's in charge. He owns Mandalore now. Like, he's got the Darksaber. What now? So
maybe the next season is just Bo-Katan fighting and or finding out where he goes. And
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind
Bo-Katan versus
not so
Mando.
Much fleeing, but Nando doing his own thing. Because I think Bo-Katan's kind of outlived her usefulness. I wanted to see her. I like seeing her. I like Bo-Katan. But at the same time, I'm more than okay with her going away now.
So if a season three never happens, I would be happy with this ending.
Very much so, yeah. I think they covered all the bases. Again, they leave some questions open. I wouldn't mind seeing a Boba Fett, or not a Boba Fett, a Grogu spinoff, and see like where is he now. Even like a mini series, like just a one season of Grogu and classmates. And
man, maybe if they just did like a short, I'd be happy with just a short.
Even like an end credit scene for something else would be cool.
Yeah.
If the Ahsoka TV series had Ahsoka doing her own thing, and then in the background they just had like a, let's go back over to Grogu, and it's like a 2 minute thing of Grogu training. I wouldn't mind that at all. I would not mind that at all.
Meanwhile, with Grogu, and he's just training.
He literally like lifting rocks.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to
Luke on a backpack.
It'd be interesting if they decided to continue the series after 7, 8, 9. And they threw Grogu in somewhere. I think that'd be cool, because he'd be 70-ish around there.
Yeah, because he's already 50. So
yeah, so it's it'd be interesting to see where it all goes.
Mm-hmm. Like Ahsoka Tano would still be, she'd be an older Jedi, but she'd still be alive.
If they were to continue with the movies, they have to have Jon Favreau do them.
I hope so.
Like, forget Rian Johnson.
Taika Waititi wants to do one.
Ah, that would also be really good. Taika Waititi does do good stuff.
He jokingly said that it's going to ruin the series.
Oh, okay.
But I don't believe that. I don't believe that Taika Waititi can make a bad movie so far. Like, he's done a lot of good. Like, Thor Ragnarok was really good. You look at the episodes he's directed for Mandalorian have been really well done. There's a picture of him holding Baby Yoda like a baby, and I really like that picture. But then he says, like, it's going to make fans hate him. But again, if he's doing his own spinoff, I don't care. If it's not part of the main story, you do whatever you want. Like, if we don't get a season three and it's actually a Mandalorian movie, I wouldn't mind.
No, I'd be okay with that. That would be sick.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. I'm kind of upset that most of the episodes were short this season. Looking back, you know, we had 15-minute episodes in the first season, but now we have, like, 3 30-minute episodes, which was kind of sucky, and this one was only 47 minutes, I think. And the first minute and a half was just the recap. So that kind of was a bit of an issue for me.
I feel like runtime, if you're padding runtime, you're not telling a good story.
Fair enough.
I feel like if you only need 35 minutes to tell a story, that's all you need. You don't need anything more than that.
Because
I feel like that's what kills shows, is just padded runtime.
Yeah, I feel like, they could have added things where, like, where's Boba? Like, where is he? Because he jumps to hyperspace. What's he doing while he waits? There could have been, like, a little bit extra, but again, I'm not going to sit here and panhandle. I like the episode. Mm-hmm. It wrapped up everything. I'm happy with it. Aside from, like, the little, like, weird CGI Luke that his hair looked like it was plastic, but that's my only issue.
I don't know. I think it was fine. I'm willing to completely overlook it.
I know
just because,
you are.
Just because it's Luke Skywalker done justice.
Exactly. If it was any other Jedi, I think I wouldn't have been happy. I think I would not have been happy if it was any other Jedi, because
I think the only other Jedi I would have been happy with was Cal Kestis.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could see Ezra Bridger, but he's supposedly with Thrawn. Like, he's supposed to be with Thrawn. So how'd he get there? Where would Thrawn be then?
Maybe Ahsoka came back, but then I was like, how does Ahsoka know where he is?
Exactly. So I liked the whole Luke thing. Again, Luke is the only one who could properly train him. Ahsoka is not a true Jedi. Cal Kestis is not a true Jedi.
It's true. Cal Kestis,
he was a Padawan. He was never trained. He was a knight in the game. He was a knight
years after.
But who would have trained him?
That's true. You're right.
It's like Luke.
I don't know. Maybe he found Luke. You know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we go to Luke's training school and there's Cal just, you know, off on the side with his
45, and he's like, "Hey guys."
He's like, "Hey guys." You see his BD just.
Yeah, literally. I would love that. But it was really good. I think again, Luke. They were again. I would not have liked it was any other Jedi. Luke. It had to be Luke, and I'm happy it was.
For sure.
So,
yeah. And that was the episode. That was the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It feels like it's been gone. It feels like it's like that, and that's
I know. It's been like 2 months has gone by. That's pretty insane. Well, thanks for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed our review of Mando. Thank you, Eldon, for taking the lead on a lot of the storytelling and a lot of the reviewing. I've just been here just for quiet commentary.
I couldn't do it without you, though. I guess the thing is, like, again, like you have me, who's like a fanatical fan, and you who likes Star Wars and just enjoys it. So it's. If I'm being hypercritical, you can at least say like, well, for most people, it should be fine, and that's awesome.
Exactly. Honestly, I'm more of a movie TV. I don't know, fanatic. Sure.
Yeah, it works. Yeah.
Enthusiast. Works. That's
enthusiast. That's better.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. You know, enjoy your Christmas holidays, New Year, all that good stuff. We'll probably be back eventually with something. We'll see.
Yeah. And with that, may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
And see you, everybody.